Our sermon text for this evening is Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. So turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. This is the Word of God. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings!" And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray and ask for his blessing. Our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we bless you and thank you that you have not been silent, but you have spoken, and you have spoken words of grace and mercy. You have spoken to us of the great salvation you have given us in Christ Jesus. We pray this evening that you would open our eyes and open our ears and open our hearts to receive your word, to grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may bless you, give you thanks and praise for the great salvation we have in his name. We ask in short for the illumining work of your Spirit. We pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. The darkness, as we come into chapter 28, is thick and heavy. It is physically dark as we come to the end of the Sabbath and as we await the dawn of the first day of the week. But even more intense than the physical darkness is the spiritual darkness. It is the darkness of hope appearing to be lost. It is the darkness of a friend apparently gone forever. It is the darkness of what feels for the friends of Jesus to be the final victory of death and the grave. But it's not enough that Jesus has died the torturous and humiliating death of the cross and has been buried in the unused tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. No, even in death, the world continues its oppression. Guards have been placed at this tomb to guard a dead man. These guards are likely the guards of the Jewish leaders and not Roman soldiers. You see, the Jewish leaders, the leaders of Jerusalem, are worried because Jesus had said that he would die and on the third day be raised again from the dead. And they were worried that Jesus' disciples would come and steal the body and claim Jesus had risen from the dead. And what a PR nightmare that would be for them. It's bad enough that Jesus has said and done things that have offended the leaders of Israel, and he's done works that they couldn't explain. But if his body left that tomb, it would create a situation where Jesus' legacy would plague them for who knows how long. And so, with Pilate's permission, a guard is set up at the tomb. Darkness is set in, and it seems, from a human perspective, undefeatable. No light, no hope. All hope for the followers of Jesus seems swallowed up in that grave. All hope conquered by the exile of death. And as we come to chapter 28, we find faithful women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, coming to the grave of Jesus. They're coming because they love Jesus. They're coming out of a natural affection for one who had been precious to them. And they fully expect that this is the end for Jesus whom they love. But beloved church, as they come to the grave, we see this is not the end for Jesus, but a new beginning. As they come, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. Light explodes, the darkness broken by the light, and there was a great earthquake as the angel descends and rolls away the stone. This is not a normal earthquake, mind you. This is not an earthquake merely of shifting tectonic plates. No, beloved, this earthquake is the inauguration of the great eschatological last day shaking that the writer of Hebrews talks about. This earthquake, like the earthquake at Christ's crucifixion, is revelatory. It is a sign of the end. It is a sign of end time eschatological events occurring. It is the sign of the end of this world, the end of this present evil age, and the inauguration of the age to come. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 12:26-29, speaks of the great shaking yet to come, a great shaking where all that belongs to this age is shaken and removed, and only the eternal, only the heavenly, only that which is of the eschaton remains. And beloved church, this is the beginning of the great final shaking. This earthquake is the beginning of the end times breaking violently into this world. The age to come dawns here at this moment. The new creation has begun in seed form. And as the angel descends and rolls away the tomb, the angel whose appearance is as lightning set against a dark backdrop, we see that the heavenly has broken into history. And of course, his appearance is utterly terrifying. And the natural response of sinful human beings is to be awestruck and terrified when heavenly angels appear in glorious form. And so the guards are utterly shocked by the angel's appearance. Heavenly glory breaks through and the guards are overwhelmed by fear. They tremble. They become like dead men. Brothers and sisters, when heavenly glory is revealed for those who are perishing, it is utterly and absolutely terrifying. You see, that glory exposes the darkness of men's hearts, and it reminds them of the glory of God and of his judgment that they so resist. The glory of heaven reminds men of the judgment of God, that the end of all that a sinner holds dear in their rebellion, that it's the end of all that the sinner holds dear in their rebellion against their Creator. The glory of heaven reminds men that they are but dust and that their power is nothing. And here at the tomb, ironically, in the face of heavenly glory, those who guard the dead become as dead men. Such is their impotence. They fall as men judged, condemned in sin and unbelief. But while these guards become as dead men in fear, the angel speaks a word to the women. Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Do not be afraid, this terrifyingly glorious angel says to the women. Do not be afraid, because what is happening here does not signal the end of hope for you. What is happening here with this glorious intrusion into the darkness does not signal your condemnation, your judgment, but it signals your justification. Your hope is not lost. Here, come and see where he lay, and see that he is not here, but that he has come back from the dead, just as he promised he would. And understand, beloved, that all who hope in Jesus, all who believe in him, are told, do not be afraid. When the heavenly world breaks in, all who believe in Jesus find at his empty tomb not condemnation, but justification. You see, as Paul tells us so clearly, Jesus died on the cross, not for his own sins, because he had none, but for the sins of his people. And when Jesus was forsaken on the cross, he was not forsaken for any failure on his part, but he was forsaken for our failure to love God and to honor him in all things. It was our breaking of the covenant of works that brought covenant curses upon Jesus as our substitute. And he took this willingly. He told his followers what he had to suffer. He told his followers that he would have to drink the cup of the wrath and curse of God to the dregs for his people so that they could be blessed. He told them he must die on the cross to live up to his name, to be Jesus, the Savior of his people. He must die and must rise again. He must die condemned, and he must be raised up justified. And yes, beloved church, we can speak of Jesus being justified here, even here in our text. Jesus was justified before God, or as we read in 1 Timothy 3:16 in the English Standard Version, he was vindicated by the Spirit. That word vindicated is the same exact word as justified. So why would Jesus need to be justified? For his own sins? No. He had none. It was for our sins. Remember, brothers and sisters, Jesus carried our sins to the cross, and he was justified by his being raised from the dead for our justification before God. And this is why the glorious angel can say to the women, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of heavenly glory, because there is no threat to those who believe in Jesus." Oh, the world's afraid of heavenly glory, and rightly so. Heavenly glory is a sign of doom. It is a sign of condemnation, eternal damnation to all who hate God and are opposed to him, to all who refuse to believe in Jesus. Heavenly glory is a sign of the end of this present evil age, the age that sinful men love and treasure. But for these women who love and adore the Lord Jesus, heavenly glory is not a threat. No. The earthquake, the glorious angel, the empty tomb, these are signs of hope. These are signs of salvation. These are signs that your sins are atoned, that you are now righteous in God's sight. You see, beloved, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead just as he said, and this is good news. This is gospel. The exile of death could not hold our Lord Jesus Christ. The grave was not the unescapable prison everybody thought it was. No, Jesus breaks the bonds of death. He breaks the gates of the grave and rises gloriously for the salvation of his people. For you and me, if we have trusted in him. Light shatters the darkness and hope is born again. There is good news in Jesus Christ. And this is the good news that these women are to tell the apostles. They are told to go and tell the good news of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And as they do so, they encounter Jesus. Listen to verse 9. "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings!'" Such a seemingly ordinary expression. Like the way we say hello. Yet how extraordinary. Greetings, a sign of friendship and affection. Greetings, a pleasant sign. Greetings, the glorious resurrected Son of God says to these women. Not judgment, but blessing. Not curse, but a cause for rejoicing. And notice how they respond to this gesture of welcome by Jesus. "And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him." These women worship Jesus, and note that he receives their worship. You see, this Jesus who has been raised from the dead is no mere man. This Jesus who was raised from the dead receives their worship without rebuking them, because he is the glorious Son of Man. He is the God-man to whom all glory is due. I want to point something else out in a, concerning our text. A pattern, and a familiar pattern for us, particularly in our worship service. Notice in our text that Jesus gives his greetings, and his people respond in worship, worshiping Jesus the Savior, Jesus the eternal Son of God incarnate, now raised and glorified. We have that every Sunday when we have a worship service. A call to worship and our response in praise. We see a pattern as we move through Matthew 28. A pattern of darkness giving way to light. The darkness of sin, the darkness of condemnation, the darkness of hopelessness giving way to light and life and blessing and peace. And how do we respond to this? We are to respond just as the women did, as they were born again to the living hope, as they came into the presence of their glorious risen Savior. They respond with worship. And as this passage closes, notice that Jesus reiterates the task of the women to go and tell his disciples that he will meet them in Galilee and that they will see him. Here with these women on the first day of the week, as light breaks the darkness, we see that to which we the church are called to do, to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus and worship him. And notice, brothers and sisters, what Jesus says of his disciples. He says to the women, go and tell my brothers. Jesus calls the disciples my brothers. The disciples who have left Jesus, who have denied Jesus, who have scattered, afraid to be associated with Jesus, Jesus calls them my brothers. And he calls them my brothers because he suffered and died on the cross condemned. Or when he suffered and died on the cross condemned, he was dying for them. And when he was raised from the dead, he was raised for their justification. And although they were ashamed of him at one point, he is not now ashamed of them. He is not ashamed to call them brothers. And beloved church, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. You see, he came to bring us out of darkness and into the glorious light, his glorious light. He came to give us hope. And this he has done by dying and rising again. Praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you now as we look into your word. We see the light and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it breaks into the darkness of our hearts. It shines a glorious light upon us, showing us your peace and your grace. We have nothing to fear. As we come, we unburden ourselves. We confess our sins. We seek for forgiveness, and here we find it in Christ. Father in heaven, we do pray that you would forgive our many sins, and we pray that you would grow our faith in Christ and strengthen us in our love for him. Help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.